Hello, everyone, and welcome to the second episode of Colors of Web3 Fireside Chat series. My name is Lum, your Web3 host, the guy who is very fascinated about everything Web3 and entrepreneurship and everything in between. Here I am today with my co-host, Raigal, hailing in from Spain. Okay, and today, I think, as promised from last time, we'll be talking about NFT, which is a non-fungible token. So I think I'll let Raigal walk over that first, and then afterward, I'll walk through what is BRC20 and what's all the thing with the ordinals and inscription and things like that. So without further ado, take it away, Raigal.
Yes, I'm going to start for non-fungible tokens. Actually, it has been a very hot topic for a while. What is a non-fungible token? First of all, what is a token? A token is the coin. We will say it is in the blockchain. So what is a fungible and what is a non-fungible token or NFT? A fungible token, it will be like in the fiat money, like the paper notes or the coins. Why? Because all the coins look the same. So you cannot, if I give you a bunch of coins, I cannot differentiate one from each other. That it's called to be fungible. So non-fungible.
Yeah. And I just want to add that you can exchange one fungible token for another because it's the same.
Exactly. It's the same. So it has the same value. But non-fungible token actually might have or might not have the same value because are not the same. Are more like collectibles. So the value or the characteristics of the tokens are different. So actually how NFT are designed is like you can create the NFT or the collection. We will see it after in a NFT marketplace. And actually you assign the ownership of that NFT. And each NFT has an ID. That is what it makes the NFT unique. So for what can be that used for? Actually, the utility is unlimited, I think. At the beginning, it has been used for digital art as well, gamify, and also memberships as utility tokens. Since it has an ID and can be like a membership ID, but actually like ticketing, getting access to content, collateral in DeFi, actually anything like we could imagine. So now I'm going to show like one of them. There is like two main marketplaces, OpenSea and Rarible. OpenSea marketplace, here we can see like the different parts, gaming, membership, personal file, profile, personal, I think I need your help.
It's profile basically picture. Personal profile picture, yeah.
Personal profile picture. Photography and music. So, and actually I'm going to show one that that was one of the first, that is the CryptoPunk, that actually here we can see the ID, 1, 10, 100, and we can see, despite these ones are very similar, it has some differences, because like a lot of NFT digital collections are generated randomly with different characteristics. Here, traits, that are the accessories, or the skin color, etc. And they generate randomly, and some of the qualities, like for example, alien, are more rare than others. That is what Lam was commenting, that might give different values.
And just to add that I think 60 Ethereum right now, at today's current price, it's I think it's roughly about $150,000.
Yes. So that prices are crazy.
Picture. Yeah.
Yeah, for a profile picture, actually, yeah. That's another. Actually, it's the Borabia Club, and if you were... I mean, it's a scandal, like, see this price. But I will say the last sell is the one that matters, not what they are asking. That price actually is what they are asking for to sell. And below, you can see, like, the last sell. It was 36 Ethereum, but it's still high. And actually, the Bored Ape Yacht Club, it's a utility NFT that gives you membership in the Bored Ape Yacht Club. That it's kind of it's a community, and you can, with a membership, you can access to real and online exclusive events. And here you can see how different, like, the different qualities, accessories, looks they have, that it's what they make it different, as well as the number, that is the ID of the collection and the NFT. And here is Rarible, that it's the other marketplace that actually, Lam, do you know what differences are from OpenSea and Rarible?
I think they're both marketplaces. From what I've been reading, researching, looks like the basically, well, open marketplaces for non-fungible token. But I believe Rarible is more targeting towards creators, right? Because mm-hmm. they do enforce a strict royalty policy. Versus OpenSea, now I believe they have an optionality policy regarding royalties restriction. Maybe you can talk about what royalty may be.
Yeah. Oh, very interesting. Yes, sure. Actually, royalties are actually the amount of money that is paid to the artist independently after selling their art. What they mean is, for example, in music, that's quite easy to visualize because everybody knows, like, Spotify pays like a little bit for each time you're listening the song to the artist. But the problem in art, as well in traditional as digital art, is that as once you have sold the painting, you don't earn anything else more. What I mean is, like, artists have been selling their paints maybe for pennies, super cheap, $10, because they were not famous. And after, once they are discovered, maybe the same painting worth million. And if the new owner sell it, the artist see no money at all for from his work. While with royalties, actually, for example, if I buy the painting for $10 and after I want to sell it for 10 millions, maybe I will earn, like, that depends of the agreement. But in the NFT smart contract as royalty, but I will earn 9 millions, and 1 million is going to be like 10%, is going to go always for the artist. What makes the artist also benefit from its work and not be just explode in that kind of game that it's actually very speculative as well. Not only that, for digital art, actually it gives value. Because, like, before in digital art, the problem is, like, if I was choosing one image, this image, actually, I don't know if there is one, if there is 10 copies. And actually, the rarity of the image also give, like, value to the art. I'm not an expert in the art topic, but it was concerns about the uniqueness and also about the ownership. It's how you can prove that you this image is yours. And you have been the first one doing it. And actually with the NFT, it gets proven what has been done, by whom, and then you can prove that actually that image is yours and you have only sell like one or 10.
Looks like you can mint this one for free. Don't have to pay the
mint for free.
Expensive, yeah. 60 Ethereum, like the CryptoPunk, yeah.
Yeah, because it's on Rari chain.
Is that an EVM chain?
Ah, good question. I guess so. Rari goods. It's funny. I found them funny, most of them. Yes, actually, the price, I have felt that an Ethereum are the higher prices. And actually, sometimes the gas problems on Ethereum are for very demanded NFT collections that people are willing to pay crazy gas amounts just to mine it first. So it's a lot of speculation. So maybe they are not paying as much for the NFT, but they are paying a lot in gas at the beginning. That's crazy.
Interesting. By the way, I think they wrote on the website, if you scroll up, it says actually that it's a layer 3 blockchain.
It's
over there. Rarity chain is live, yeah, enforcing royalty. See? So yeah,
it's, I think, an this Arbitrum. Would,
yeah, which is EVM chain, right? Ethereum virtual yes. machine.
Yes, interesting. Yeah. So that's all, actually, I wanted to share. I don't know if I'm missing something. Maybe you can tell me about. If not, I'm willing to listen more about the BRC20. Because is it like NFTs?
Anyway, without further ado, yeah, let me walk through that from the beginning. Maybe feel free to jump in anytime. So what the heck is BRC20? I think this website here gave a very good explanation. BRC20, it's a similar standard for ERC20, which is a standard for tokens on the Ethereum blockchain, right? But this BRC20 is a standard on the Bitcoin base layer, right? It's an attempt to add fungible use cases to the Bitcoin base layer, right? And then it's also, it made Bitcoin NFT an overnight sensation. I think there's a few things I need to walk through for people to, you know, to understand this. I think first we need to understand what the heck is a Satoshi.
Mm-hmm.
So what is a Satoshi, you may be asking, right? A Satoshi over here is the smallest unit of Bitcoin and is named after the Bitcoin creator, Satoshi Nakamoto. This is actually just a pseudonymous person, but we don't actually know the real identity of the Bitcoin creator. There's 100 million Satoshi in one Bitcoin, so each side is worth this much BTC. I'm not gonna read this out loud. I probably will butcher that up. So each Satoshi is basically indistinguishable. So basically, it means that it is a fungible token, right? But what it is that the ordinal protocol, though, it's a system that make it possible to distinguish and track individual Satoshis, the plurals, right? So you can think of it like a tracking number for your package or something like that, or multiple packages in this case, yeah? And then, so the ordinal protocol track is Satoshi to subsequent transaction in a first in, first out. And then there's these identifying numbers are actually called ordinals, right? Because both the identification and tracking mechanism are dependent on the chronological order of creation transaction. Okay, I'm probably not going to deep dive into a lot of the technical stuff here, but the important thing to note is that, so let's go back to ordinals. I think this website has a very good explanation. So ordinals as a way to inscribe data into individual Satoshi, right? And the way you can inscribe any data, in that sense, you can inscribe images, videos, or text into each Satoshi, creating a wide range of potential application. So like this image is over here, right? For example, you can inscribe this image over here inside a Satoshi, which is the smallest unit of Bitcoin. And inscription are the data embedded into Satoshi using the ordinal protocol, right? And then this data can come in a variety of formats. So now imagine you can embed a dog picture, a frog picture, or whatever. I will show you some of the collection afterward on the, you can have a good idea. So BRC20 is just basically a good way to help for the inscription of the data into the Satoshis. Okay, and these would in turn become the NFT, some of the token here. So let's quickly talk about the key differences between BRC20 and ERC20. This might be interesting here. BRC20 token do not use smart contract, whereas ERC20 token rely on them for functionality. I think the reason for this is that probably there's not enough space and not enough scaling possibility, but also I think it's just very hard to be able to execute a lot of commands on the Bitcoin base layer blockchain, right? So that's the main challenge. I think there might be some other technical challenge as well. So that's why we only use the inscription to store the data. And obviously BRC token exists on the Bitcoin network, Bitcoin main layer one network, right? And then ERC token on the Ethereum blockchain, whether it's Polygon, mainnet, Arbitrum, or Ethereum. And fungibility, this is an important part here. We were saying earlier, I think Raigao said that ERC token are fully fungible, but BRC20 token are semi-fungible, meaning they can only be exchanged in set increments, right? Not one by one, but like set increment, for example, like 10 or 100 Satoshi at a time. So let's go ahead and look into some interesting collection here on, let's go ahead and look at Magic Eden. So I think the first one I want to take a look at is a Bitcoin frogs. I think this is one of the, I believe the way they were generated is using some sort of a randomization algorithm. And then you have four components. This is my guess, by the way. I haven't actually seen the code behind this, but you can see there's a glasses. There is whatever he's putting in his mouth, right? That's two. Third is whatever it is that he's wearing. And then the fourth one is probably his head. Okay, so these are the four components. that I think would distinguish. Actually, there might be a fifth one here, the scarf, yeah. But the scarf, or whatever, the neck, I think his neck, right? So they just basically, if you multiply all the feasible combinations of these, this is like simple mathematics, by the way, and then you ended up with like 10,000 supply. Actually, it might be more, but I think the creator decided to just have 10,000 supply. So you can see over here, this frog here, 8874, have the same glasses, right? So that's one variation of the glasses. And right now they're on sales for roughly 0.2 BTC, which is, I think, $8,500 at the time of recording. So that's the first collection. Let's take a look at another one of the original collection here. This is a BTC D-Gods. I don't know why they have this name, but yeah, it's the floor price right now is 0.25, which is roughly more than $10,000, I believe.
Yeah.
That one, yeah, very expensive for even the cheapest one on here. And well, we can see here the floor price, and there's actually only 535 of them, I think, which is probably why, right? Supply and demand. There's a few of these, and I guess a more will be. So this is one of the original one on the blockchain. So yeah, and I believe the principle of randomization also still apply for how this is created. So I think that basically conclude a lot of the things about BRC20. I hope my explanation was clear. Feel free to let me know either down below if you guys have any comments or questions.
Yeah, I find it very curious. I was not expecting NFTs in Bitcoin, and it looks like the Ethereum one. So
yeah, I think this was created last year, right? From what I was reading here, it was created in March of 2023. So it's actually, they came about quite recently. And the official standard here, see, you can see here, right? The ordinal was introduced by Casey Rodemoore, I believe is one of the person building up this. And then I think it officially went live in like 2023 or something, March 2023 or something like that, right? And yeah, I think last year it made quite some hype for a lot of people on the Bitcoin network.
Yeah.
So
okay, we'll be curious to see how that continues. So what we are talking next, Lam?
Good question. I'm thinking that one topic that has been on my mind a lot recently is real-world assets. I think we can probably talk about real assets for next time.
Yeah, right? I think it's a good point, and also how tokenization is going to be applied. Okay, we will talk about that next episode. I hope you're looking forward as much as me and Lam, for sure.
Anyway, we're here to provide you with entertainment and educational value mainly. So what we said here is not financial advice. Thank you for tuning in, everyone. Please leave your comments below. Like and subscribe if you enjoyed this. And we will see you next time.
See you.